Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Look at us all, child protective. What was that about?
Azra, we're not children. Take photos, tag us, please. Yeah. No, sorry, don't.
How is everyone feeling?
We're great. We've been here all day. Was anyone at Louise's show earlier on? Woo! Didn't we steal it?
It was not amazing.
Yeah, I did especially well.
Lads, it's great to have you all. We appreciate you coming out so much. And we've a load of disgusting shit for you here now tonight. And it's going to be great. Buckle on in.
No, thanks really, though, for coming. Because it was actually very
frightening,
nerve-wracking, embarrassing as the ticket sales.
What are you talking about? Crept.
Oh, no, sorry. It was, it was bopping.
Was it
just released? We released an extra few the other day.
Lads.
Those ones.
How are you getting on? What do you have for us on this fine day?
Well, the last time we did a show in Cork, I told the story of Ireland's missing women. And someone came up to me afterwards and said, that wasn't appropriate. And so I really thought about, like, when you're putting together a live show, you have to be very considerate of, like, the topic.
Okay.
So I have Nazi Germany. Just light touch.
Was anyone at the live show with the missing women triangle?
In the keynote.
In the keynote.
Anyone there?
Oh, you were? Yeah.
Are you all right?
Are you all right?
It was...
Not missing, clearly. Found, I see.
We were close
Great
to tears.
Great to have you back.
On that one. What about you, Jen?
I've got a load of weird people initially. I thought we'd kind of come in with lots of strangeness. Women, a woman ate her own mattress, etc.
I brought Cokes and I do have a story about drunk animals.
Oh, you love to hear it.
And some visuals.
And I have visuals.
Oh.
Yes.
So let me start you off with this weird people. Everyone is weird, first of all. So no shade if you're doing your weird shit. And where are you going?
Yeah, welcome. No, don't do that. That's awful. And she doesn't care.
Not to worry.
They're the deaf people we pay to fill up the seats.
I just want to have one conversation about a woman called Jennifer in the US. You might have come across her.
Okay.
She has an unusual issue with mattresses in that she's eating them. Non-stop eating specifically mattresses.
Does she have an Emma?
Yeah,
is she eating Emma?
She's eating Emma. No, she's more
Emmas
specific.
Are very attractive as individuals.
She wouldn't go near an Emma, be too much chew on
it's
it.
So dense.
What she's after is the topper, the mattress topper.
The thing that everyone periods onto.
Yes. Although no, she spoke in
she's
the interview.
She's getting her fucking memory iron.
She spoke in the interview about how she goes off them when they're too soaked. But wait till you hear what she does. So it all began as a child in her car seat and everything was fine and she was feeling around and just got a little taste
of the foam.
The foam.
Mm. Yeah.
And thought that carried on through her life. Just normal amounts of foam was being eaten there in the same way you'd eat a pencil the odd time or you might eat a bit of fool's cap. We've all done that, no?
A bit of paper. That's not a car seat or a mattress.
It's a slippery slope. So I think it's a texture thing. So she was at this, and then it started to navigate into the one-seater sofa in the gaff, and she ate the side off that, and then she went to the bed.
And is she like a filling woman only, or does she do the
it's the topper
material as
it's
well?
It's the yellow foam stuff.
Yeah.
So she's got a brother called Ben, and Ben began to become suspicious when
his mattress was missing.
He was sinking slowly into his mattress, but the side of the couch was gone. But not only that, what he was seeing in the loo was floating bits of foam.
Oh,
of course, what goes on?
And
up?
He was like, Jennifer, what's after happening here? What are you doing? Taking the foam and putting it in the loo? Can you explain what's going on? And she fessed up. She was like, look, something weird's happening. I can't stop eating my mattress. I'm sorry. And he was like, that's fine. You seem fine and well. And she is fine and well. And you're thinking to yourself as you're kind of listening to her interview, fine.
Who among us?
But also, and she said she was healthy and well. And you'd believe her. Until she gets to the point where she's run out of mattresses in the gaff. So she was after her mum's mattress. So she used to wait till her mum could get into the shower. And she'd go down the hall. She'd hear the door open for the mum to leave the bedroom. She'd be straight in.
Yeah.
Getting chunks, bringing them back to her bedroom, slowly hammering them in. So she runs out.
Why didn't she just buy it? Buy the stuff in bulk?
I think that maybe there was like an excitement to the stealing element as well.
And you probably are like, look, I'm going to stop. I'm going to have a little bit more and stop. And I'm going to get control of this. I'm going to get a handle on it.
Exactly. Until she noticed, like Ben, that the mattress as it was coming out of her was floating. It wouldn't flush away.
Oh.
And she said to herself, sure, I could rinse this off and go again.
No, she didn't.
She literally said this on American television.
You're on TLC too much.
I'm on TLC. And I was, and every and
reduce, the reuse, recycle.
And it sort of ended.
It's actually very sustainable of her.
And you know, the TLC interviewer was interviewing her and was like, we need more juice. And somehow let's get sex into this. And there must have been a question that was edited out. And her answer anyway is like, you know, I would go for it after sex. Like, have a bit of the mattress.
Even these people are horrified.
So she was like,
paid.
Somebody's going at their chair, though.
Yeah.
Those chairs have a bit of foam in it. Those chairs look delicious.
So she's hammering through the box springs and the chairs and the bits of the car. And eventually at the end, she's just like, look, I'm hurting no one and I'm feeling well. And we all agreed. That's
it's
just
fine.
What she's at.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, there's more.
Okay.
So then Kyle came into the picture. And look, this isn't a weird thing at all. He's just had a preference for very elderly women who he would love to sleep with.
Cool.
And that I thought was fine and not strange at all. And then it kind of, I got through that and I was like, you know, fine, Kyle, you do you. That's fine. He liked the old, he liked the taste of the dentures in his gob when he was doing the kissing.
No.
Yeah.
That very like dentistry taste.
Yeah.
And that's a deficiency.
Is it?
It must be.
He liked the feeling of crepey skin.
Oh yeah.
And he liked hanging out with Owens. And that's all good and well. And I was like, this show's fine. But then what about this guy? Very, very unusual gentleman by the name of Mark. He was 20.
Is that the end of Kyle?
I was just like,
did you
Kyle,
just
I
bring
just
him on
mean.
To kink shame him?
Kind of, yeah. I was like, that's fine, Kyle. That's not strange. That's your preference.
But Kyle
move
is
move on with your life.
Kyle's a friend to us.
I agree.
Like, we're all heading that way. We all want
it
a
could
Kyle
be more than a
eventually.
Friend to you guys.
Well, thanks, Kat.
With your crappy skin.
Mark is very unusual.
Okay.
Looks totally average in every way, except for the fact that he's in a relationship with 15 inflatable animals. Very, very odd.
Not the penguin attraction at that zoo.
No. Oh, he would have been absolutely
loads of people
mad
sent
for
me
that
picture afterwards. It was absolutely brilliant. Then remember that zoo that was trying to pass off a load of inflatable penguins as a penguin exhibit.
So in
are
Mark's,
they kind of like
they're
is
all
it
like
a menagerie? Is there loads of different ones?
Dragons. There's one dragon called Eleanor that he is his number one relationship.
And Mark
individual.
Knows dragons aren't real. Yeah,
he knows they're not real, but he's something about Eleanor's smile.
Sorry,
and her large
for a second
eyes.
I was like, what are you talking about?
She's an inflatable woman. So anyway, he was going like on, and that was all well and good. And I was like, you know what is interesting though? People with balloon kinks, and I found a guy called Stephen, who has a balloon kink.
It's always a Steve.
Steve and his balloons. But Stephen got very interested in talking about how he would inflate them to 60% and go very hard at them, is what he said.
Did he put two together and like motorboat them?
No, I think he was going after one.
I'd say he's making some animals. That's someone eating the chair. Anyway.
Yeah.
There's someone's more talking. Down here if you're finished that one. Only a few.
So Stephen's hammering away at balloons. And that was all kind of understandable.
But like, is he just kind of like, I he's just going feel... going in at them. In at them, but like you wouldn't get enough. Like
you would when you make a balloon animal dog. You know when you get those two sausage ones together.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. That's what he's makes doing. Sense. But she's saying he's just going at a round one.
So everything is fine in the privacy of your own home, Stephen.
I think Steve has never like fully explored the capabilities
but
of his
wait,
penis.
There's more,
and like he thinks what he's doing is it. Like someone needs to introduce a second balloon and be like, look, you can do the whole shaft.
Did he?
Like he's just the tipping. He's just constantly just the
just
tip.
Banging it off.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I feel like he was the kind of guy when I was looking at him that he would have tried.
Oh, he'd have investigated heavily.
He started to feel guilty anyway about pounding away on his balloons and he decided to go into balloon
degrading
rescue.
Degrading the balloons.
Balloon rescue.
He's getting heavily involved in balloon rescue. So he
Adopt,
goes around.
Don't shop, like.
He's in America. And what they do in the car sales places is they put up, you know, big fancy balloon displays.
Oh, yeah.
And what he does is when the heat of the sun, he's in Texas, starts hurting the balloons. He goes away and gets in the night and fills his car with them to bring them home. To hammer away at them there. So the bottom line here is that everything's fine. But if
that's
you choose
not fucking that's the balloon trafficking that he's
I
doing.
I think so.
That's not fucking adopt a balloon.
You're right. He's not helping
thinks
them.
He's helping them. He's
they
trapping them trafficking them into his fucking sex den.
So Stephen's sex den is like the family is like his
it's so
marital
squeaky.
Bedroom.
Imagine the static.
Yeah.
You couldn't touch
I'd
Stephen.
I say they're well lubricated.
Steve's
the
pubes are just like...
yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that's just a tidbit to get us all moist for the main event. But I don't know why...
Sorry, we've come all this way to slag your accents.
It was unintentional, you know, when you arrive somewhere and it starts assimilating.
Stop. Hi, boy.
Are you Langer?
So
they will leave.
They will
so
leave.
People do be...
I'm half Cork.
That's true, you're
I'm
right.
actually full Cork.
Yeah,
people are like, what?
That's you being rejected.
Yeah, they don't want me. Yeah. They don't want that fucking Jackie.
So fucking eat whatever you want.
Fuck a balloon?
Yeah.
Have at it.
Okay, thank you. So are you done now?
Well, I've got the other bit later.
Okay, great.
A man eating a canoe.
So, is it a man eating
it's
a canoe?
Or is he
it.
Fucking a canoe? Because that's way too big a hole.
You'll want to fuck this guy with a canoe at the end of my story.
Great.
Nazis. We were saying that we need to throw our support behind the Nazis.
We were.
Because they're a minority now.
Which is fair. Sorry, you big Aryan over there. Being like, we just need to support them. We just need to row in and listen to their ideas.
Sorry, I can't help that they like me. Like,
you were literally a wet dream.
Nazis. Yeah.
So come with me. Back to Nazi Germany and a family feud.
Do we have to? I mean, it
you
sounds great.
Be nice to me on stage. So it's a family feud and you've probably already somehow taken a side and not known it. So Adolf Dessler.
Sorry, does anyone remember the Campbell's thing?
Big soup.
What was that again? You thought his name was Gambles or something.
Hitler. It was two people.
Does anyone remember that? Did I have
a
fever dream?
It was
a
family,
dream?
The family who had tried to, a family of Nazis who had tried to name their kids Adolf Hitler Campbell. And yeah. Jen got confused and thought Campbell's soup was a Nazi. Adolf Dessler, he began making shoes in 1924 in his mother's kitchen shortly after returning home to his village of, now bear with, Hertz Oguinawara.
Oh, it's
there's
got to
be some German here. Is there any German people?
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Whoa. Right there. All right, how do we go? How do we say
welcome?
Oh, Jesus. That is perfect, is what she said. For anyone who can hear, she said, well done, you stick with it. So he was there after World War I, and his business was doing well, so much so that he's brought his brother, Rudy Dassler, into the business. So Shai Adolf Adi was the creative force. The creative force. And brains behind the business, while Rudy was the extroverted salesman. You know, we all need one of those. So the Dassler brothers' main goal at this early stage of the company was to get their shoes on the feet of athletes, right?
Not horses.
Not horses, but athletes. And they believed if an athlete won a race wearing their shoes, it would help like authenticate the product and would bring them great fame. And they were right. So the chance came in the 1928 Olympics in Amsterdam when a German distance runner, Lena Radek, not only won the 800-meter race in a pair of their shoes, but she set a new world record. So great excitement for the Dassler brothers. And then they gained further acclaim in the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin. So Adi put their shoes to athletes from several different nations, and it was an American called Jesse Owens who had the Olympics of his life in a pair of Dassler brother track shoes. He became like the big catalyst for the company. There was 7 gold, 5 silver, and 5 bronze medals were won by athletes wearing Dassler shoes in that Olympics, right? 4 gold medals by this fella Owens alone. So huge. On the outside, company's doing phenomenally well. The Dassler brothers, huge hit. But inside the company, things were crumbling. So as the Dassler brothers were building out their shoe company, the Nazi party were trying to take control of Germany, as we all know our history very well. In 1925, just when the brothers were forming Dassler, the other Adolf, Hitler, declared the National Socialist German Workers' Party with himself as the leader. And by 1933, he was the German chancellor. And the brothers joined the Nazi party and remained members until the end of the war. They were like, let's get in behind this guy.
Making the uniforms.
Well, they started making the uniforms in the factory and they started making other things in the factory. So initially during the war, the factory continued to produce track shoes. But in 1941, they were ordered to produce pairs, like 10,000 pairs of shoes a month for the regime. Things were not good between the brothers and their wives either. They all decided to live together, including Adi's wife, who was just a teenager. And she was very much trying to get involved in the business. She was trying to interfere with business matters, although she was only 16 years of age and had no experience. So this really pissed off Rudy.
So, like, I know she's a child and we don't support marrying children.
Yeah.
But also, imagine being married to a teenager.
The heart
that
goes out to
that would be fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of those little interns coming in and Larry's trying to run the Dassler Brothers shoe company. No. So it was the feud between the two brothers was getting significant. But then Adi was drafted in 1940, but he was given a deferment because he was needed to run the factory. But then when Rudy was drafted in 1943, he blamed Adi for his draft. And he was like, you know, you've dubbed me in and I have to go. Why can't I stay and make the shoes? I don't want to go to war. But he had to go off because he wasn't deemed to be as important. His role was that sales kind of salesy role, but they were flat out making shoes for the regime. So
it's not Rudy Das, it's Adidas.
That was the big reveal, Sophie.
Oh no. I fucking blow your load. I'm so sorry. Was it such a reveal?
Dassler.
I saw a quip and I went with it.
Well,
so quippy.
Thanks for coming to Cork. I've had a great time. I mean, where do I go from here, guys? Well, they were Nazis, Adidas.
No, keep going. Shut up, you're joking.
So Rudy goes off to Rudy has to go off to war and he's really pissed off and he's demanding that Adi keep him informed about every business decision. And he wanted his wife to act as the deputy, which Adi was like, absolutely not.
No wives.
I'm running this company here. I want you to fuck off. But the things between the brothers continued to get worse and worse. In one letter, Rudy wrote to Adi saying, I will not hesitate to seek the closure of the factory so that you will be forced to take up occupation that will allow you to play the leader and as a first-class sportsman to carry a gun. So he's so pissed off that he's at war and Adi's back at home in the factory, so much to the point that he is willing to close the factory down and have his brother be sent off to war.
All the toys out of the pram.
So many, like, just, they're so pissed off, right? 6 months after that, the factory is taken over as part of the Total War Shortest campaign, and they're forced to stop producing shoes and instead begin producing weapons, particularly this shoulder rocket launcher that would be used to
Shoe-shaped.
It was like one of those t-shirt cannons.
Yes.
This would be a good time to gushy out your timeouts. Rudy was still trying to take back control of the factory from Adi, and he was trying to persuade members of the Nazi Party to use the factory to produce boots for soldiers instead of, you know, weapons and stuff.
And they have more stuff for shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they were probably trying to incorporate like eyelets and laces into, you know,
it's our specialist
weapons.
They were I think it was just like they took up whatever space and workers and factories and stuff that they could. I don't know. Ask the German. she said, I'm right. So Rudy's still trying to take it over, and he's trying to convince the Nazis to go, you know, to change the factory back to boots. His plan fails, and in a kind of pissed off state, he goes AWOL from his post in Poland just days before the Soviets liberated it. And he then, when he returns back to, he was arrested. So soon after the war ended, Rudy returned and was quickly arrested by American troops who suspected that he worked for the SS. So Adi and his wife testified at the denazification panel that Rudy was part of the SS, and he was imprisoned for a year, leaving Adi to run the factory.
Oh my God.
Yes, there's so much like infighting and shit there. But Adi didn't get off scot-free. So they required that Adi not operate the shoe factory, not operate the business Dassler. So once again, Rudy was like, this is my chance to regain power. And he told the panel that it was Adi all along who masterminded the weapons production for his own profit. But the panel didn't buy it, and they sided with Adi and gave him full ownership of the Dassler factory in 1947.
This is like Liam and Noel.
Very similar.
Yeah.
So the false testimony.
We just want them to get along.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
Noel has to stop
It sounds like it would be appropriate for these guys to just part ways. Maybe stop living in the house together.
Just
get a little bit of alone time.
Just a bit of distance.
Just a bit of separation. Never did anyone any harm. So with the false testimony from Rudy and the testimony from Adi, the family infighting just was like at an all-time high. And it led to this irreparable rupture for the entire Dassler family and ultimately the company.
I'd say the group chat was very tense.
Very tense.
Coming up to the final rupture.
Yeah, so by 1940...
Rudy has left the chat.
Rudy has left the chat. But he is in prison. So by 1948, Dassler was officially split, moving its assets and employees into one of two competing operations located on opposite sides of the river that flowed through Herzegovina. Adi renamed his business Adidas.
What?
Wow.
Oh, can you believe it?
There you go. Combining his first and last name. And Rudy did the same, dubbing his Ruda, although later changed to Puma.
Puma.
You were right.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Two Nazis.
And soon most of the town's citizens were employed by one factory or the other, either Adidas or Puma. And the siblings' rivalry, like intense rivalry, spread throughout the entire town.
And it's so, just like, keep remembering, this is just about shoes.
It's rivalry in post-war Germany.
It's such a nerd rivalry. My shoes.
Well,
my shoes have stripes. Your shoes has a Puma. Stupid.
Puma's fast.
Which do you prefer?
I'm not going to say now that I like them. They're big Nazis.
Which Nazi do you prefer? Come on.
I do like a tracksuit, and Adidas were like very, very
I always
innovative.
Liked Himmler.
Oh, here.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So back to the feud in the town.
Wait, tell them about your old email address.
Oh, no, we had to change your Instagram handle.
When I was trying to become an author of books, and I was like, I need to have cohesion across all my social media platforms. I had two. And so I was trying to, you know, when you're trying to get the thing that no one else has. Would you believe? No one had Sophie White rights.
You had that unknowing.
Well, I know. I took it on.
Visually, because fine. Because I was visually podcast medium.
I wasn't hearing it.
I think you ended one episode by saying Sophie White writes, and we were like, that has to change. Promptly. Sophie White, whoop. So back to the town. The rivalry is so intense that if someone worked for one company, they weren't allowed to socialize with the employees of the other. Marrying across companies was strictly forbidden.
Oh my God, but you know it'd be so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, that where would
is,
be...
Where is that Baz Luhrmann film? Like, so residents only shopped in the stores on the same side of the factory that they worked in, where they were employed. So within the family, the sisters sided with Addie and the mother sided with Rudy. It was like totally split down the middle. Now,
this is very like the North South divide in Cork.
Yeah.
Any Norries in?
Any Nassis?
Oh, there's like a few. Hello.
Oh, she's here. Get her.
Yeah. she's an immigrant. Everyone relax.
So the town earned the nickname the Town of Bent Necks because residents their habit of looking at each other's shoes to figure out where you're allowed to be friends with them or whether you're allowed to talk to them or not, which is gas. Now, ultimately, Adidas completely outshone Puma. So thanks to Adi's creativity and technical acumen, you know, they did really well in the 1954 World Cup. They invented a football boot that was half the weight of other boots and had removable screw-in spikes. So good, that was just
them.
Like innovation. And then they released the tracksuit, which was, they were like one of the first sports brands to do the two-piece tracksuit. And they became so popular in the US.
How did they shake the Nazi connection?
They didn't.
So why didn't anyone know about it?
Because I hadn't told you till now.
Oh.
But we also know after the war, like, everyone was upset until it suited them to have a Nazi.
Oh,
so
I
the
see.
Americans took the Nazis for their eugenics
That's
program.
Right. Yeah.
People loved the shoes.
Run DMC,
so it was like,
loved
we
the
hate
track suits.
The Nazis, except when it suits us.
Mm. Yeah, so they Adidas became ultimately incredibly popular. Puma were not that far behind, but by like 2020, I think the worldwide sales of Adidas are 22.4 billion.
Holy shit.
Puma's really slacking with 5.9 billion. Neither company is owned by anybody associated with the family. And in the early 90s, the town put their differences aside and had a friendly match between the two factories.
In the 1990s?
Yes, it went on for such a long time and they finally ended the feud. Oh, sorry. Not the feud finally ended in 2009 when the employees of each company had a friendly match. When the brothers died in 1970, they were buried at opposite sides of the cemetery in the town.
So immature.
So immature, but I kind of admire the commitment to it. I really do. So there you go. Anybody wearing Adidas?
Isn't sadly a Nazi.
Pumas.
Yes.
You're just a big bunch
there.
Of Nazi
Love
supporters.
It.
And there you go.
Thank you, Cass.
You're welcome.
Jeez, I've never heard that.
No.
Fascinating stuff.
Some people might remember this happening because it was 2010 and it was Clondalkin. And, okay, we're not in... I forgot, sorry. We're beyond the pale. Clondalkin is a place in Dublin. It's in... It's near Lucan.
They do know geography.
City West. Basically,
Dublin is a city...
This story could be basically summed up as Clondalkin's gonna Clondalkin. A man was presented with the gift of a wallaby at his 30th birthday party at a hotel in Dublin's Liffey Valley while Skippy the Bush Kangaroo played.
What?
Wow.
Where did they get a wallaby?
Lambay Island.
They had to... apparently very easy to get a hold of.
There's loads of wallabies
now,
in Dublin.
Though the plot thickens. So Skippy the Bush Kangaroo was playing and this didn't go down well at all. And partygoers were denying that it was given ecstasy and booze. Gardaí were investigating. So the 30-year-old man whose party it was said, to be honest, I didn't have a clue it was coming. I wasn't happy with it coming. I thought the party would have to be cancelled. It came in and it went back out, and I've no idea where it went or where it came from. And the police came down and said the thing was on drugs and everything, but no way was it after taking ecstasy and drink. Which sounds very much like, no way was I partying with ecstasy
absolutely
and drink
no
for
way
a fucking wallaby. Anyway, a circus was in town, just 500 meters from the hotel.
Oh, it was the
so fingers began pointing at Alexander Schull, the man who runs the circus. And he said, he denied vehemently that he had anything to do with the wallaby. There had been confusion. So the Gardaí and the DSPCA all got involved. And the thing that happened was that at this birthday party, there was cameras, as there would be, and videos and photos seemed to make it up onto Facebook. And that was what first alerted everyone to the fact that it happened. And so there was confusion about whether the wallaby was escorted off the hotel premises or if it had left of its own volition. And the Clarion in Liffey Valley said they were horrified by what happened. And the general manager said, we don't condone it. And we don't think it's acceptable. So he really went out on a limb there to condemn the people behind this terrible incident. And do you remember Alexandra Schull?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did they steal it or did he lease it out?
Well, so people were accusing him of like leasing it out. And the thing was that the previous October, Alexandra Schull had been at the center of a llama drama.
Oh.
When 5 llamas and 3 goats escaped from a compound and ran out onto the M50. Causing 8-kilometer tailbacks. I love the way like that they're immediately concerned about the traffic.
Yeah.
It's not the llamas. So the llama drama started. Schull claimed that it was that this, he blamed it on a delivery driver saying that he'd left the gate to the compound open. But then David Duffy of Duffy Circus said, there have been a number of incidents over the years where elephants have been let loose and camels let loose on main roads. I do feel like we would have heard, no?
Is it just a bit of PR for the circus?
He was like, this is a stunt.
Marketing stunt.
This is a PR stunt. But Alexander Schull maintained that he had nothing to do with the wallaby at the party, despite being the manager of Sydney Circus, which was currently located 500 meters from the party. And he said, like his story was that the wallaby in the club that night was a man dressed in a kangaroo suit.
yes.
And when he was asked how clubbers could make that mistake, he said, you know how the Irish drink. They can see anything. If they see a dog, they say it's a pig. People drink and they don't see in the nightclub. The light is very funny. The kangaroo with the man inside it was in the nightclub bouncing around. It looks like a kangaroo because it bounces like a kangaroo. They thought the man in the kangaroo suit was a real kangaroo. And I say,
absolute no way.
I don't think
uncanny.
So, Alexander. I don't think there's any amount of
drink and drugs that'd have you mistaken for Stephen in
it's
that.
It's really except the feet that give it away.
It's the feet that get very unrealistic feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strangely realistic small head.
He's got actually the kind of, you know, the kind of
mittens.
Kardashian prototype.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Of beauty ideals, doesn't he? Yeah, very Kim K.
Oh,
anyway.
So, what a tale.
Well, Alexander was run off the island. He left. There was some charges about, charges in England as well about him,
Messing.
He's messing. He's constantly messing with animals. And then also after, not llama drama, but like Wallaby Gate, photos surfaced of Alexander at a nightclub holding a wallaby from just about 4 months previously.
No,
and they
that
were
is
like,
damning.
Strong you rapid. So that is Drunk Animals.
Thank you.
That's our show. Thank you,
thank
Sophie.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.